And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Willie Donick.
Good morning.
That's him.
Chase McAbee.
Nashville, it's Friday. It's a Flair Friday. Let's roll. Woo!
Wow. Okay. A little wrestling flavor. Max Herz behind the glass.
Hi, Max.
Morning.
Wow. That was very, very subdued.
It's Friday. Morning.
It's Friday, man.
Good morning, Darren.
Good morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to, which is hopefully the end of the week for a lot of people. We got a great show for you, as always. We're excited about it. President and CEO of the Predators, Sean Henry, coming up at 10:15. So sitting there in the on-deck circle. He's probably got two bats. He's swinging two bats. Right? Just getting ready. Getting ready. Jeff Fisher to kick off the second hour of the program.
That's good stuff. That's great.
Excited about that. Alan Lowry also in the second hour.
Coach Lowry, I mean, he drew up the Music City Miracles. Good play.
Adam Humphries in the third hour.
Good player. Adam Humphries.
Say, where are you going with that one?
Hey, and D-Mace, you put them back in the backfield to return. That'd been great.
Is that not the way? Hold on a second. That is just so. That is this. I mean, I know Coach Fisher has had many people imitate him, including the two of us, Darren. But Chase has boldness going out on the air doing this. I don't know if it's up to speed.
Look,
qualify as a good
in short burst? It's good,
very short. I think he's going on too long.
You can't do Caliendo. Like he can't
do a full bit. Yeah, he runs out of material.
When he comes on and I listen to him, I have a feeling I'll be better afterwards because I'll be able to take mental notes. Like he does something. He does. He goes, well, you know, he does the well a lot. You remember those press conferences when you'd ask a question? Like he'd start with, well, Toller Ball Club.
Still not bad.
Yeah.
It needs work. It's just.
Well, like I said, short burst. Short burst. You just made the list also in the third hour of the program. Pick six at 1 o'clock. So we've got a loaded and packed show on this Friday morning. Fun night last night at the Music City Center. Coaches versus cancer. Was honored to be a part of it again up on stage for a little bit. Myself and Jared Stillman kind of getting the night started. Sean Farnham, who does an unbelievable job emceeing the event. Of course, they raised incredible money again for a great, great cause. So it was a fun night. It's, as I said last night, Willie, you know, because we've been to a bunch of these, this event has grown just like our city. It started off as a cute little luncheon, 50, 75 people, and here we sit in a room full of about 400 people at the Music City Center. And the reason it's at the Music City Center is because they had to keep getting bigger and bigger rooms. So star power on stage, of course, all the local coaches there. So you saw Brian Collins there of Tennessee State, Matt Figger, Austin Peay, Casey Alexander over Belmont, all those coaches there. That was great. I even saw Dave Luce and Rick Byrd in the house.
Oh,
but
cool.
I'll tell you what, when you get 1, 2, and 3 consecutive get coaches up on stage, when you go from Jerry Stackhouse to then Rick Barnes to then Penny Hardaway, that's some serious star power.
Oh, man.
It's pretty cool.
In one room.
Fantastic.
Huh?
This is very cool.
That's what they did last night in the middle of the event. They brought them up individually. And Rick Barnes, I've got to be honest, they were all really good. Rick Barnes stole the show. He was really funny. In fact, Sean Farnham could barely interview him. It was Rick Barnes interviewing Sean and putting him on the spot and just having fun with him and poking jabs at him. Even made a little UCLA joke.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. Not Sean, but Rick Barnes. Sean,
well, he
kinda
hasn't been shy
Sean
about it.
Went there, you know, kind of hint about the whole UCLA, and he goes, well, I almost went there.
Yeah.
Or he goes, it was an almost. And the whole, you know, everybody in the room cracked up at that. But nonetheless, Cromwell Radio, Bud Walters and his wife Rosemary in attendance, Dennis, our new general manager, Ryan Porth, program director, big group Nicola Spencer, does incredible work with this every year. in helping set all this up. It was a really nice evening. Cromwell Radio being the media sponsor again for the event. I think that is 8 years running for this incredible event. So for everybody that was there last night, hope you had a really good time. For folks who have never been to it, you might want to mark it on your calendar for next year. It's a really, really fun night.
Well, I'm glad you guys had fun.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you're right. It makes a difference when everybody participates. And I think it's great that all of those coaches thought it was important enough to be there on that night.
Yeah.
It's a great cause.
Great cause for sure. In fact, that thing has never been lacking star power. I remember one when it was a luncheon, Brad Stevens was there, right? I mean, we've had some big coaches, but I was pretty cool. And Jerry Stackhouse kind of talked about what, you know, he's trying to build at Vanderbilt. Of course, Penny Hardaway up there on stage with the number one recruiting class in the country, talking about how he may be starting five freshmen. I mean, Memphis is going to look a lot like Kentucky, right? They're going to now rival John Calipari in Kentucky, where he may be indeed trotting out five freshmen this year. Now, of course, five-star All-Americans, right? McDonald's All-Americans. But it'll be interesting to see how he's able to make these young guys try to get to the finish line, which has always been the challenge for Calipari, right? They're talented, and they're really good. They can win a lot of games, but it's tough in that only year that you have them, in most cases, to get them to the finish line.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the number of championships Calipari and Kentucky would probably have if they just built some things, if it wasn't just one?
Well, it's not like he doesn't want to build them, but yeah. I mean, the way
the rules are.
Right, they're gone. I mean, they just, see you later. I got money to make.
Yeah, I'm not. I was such a big college basketball fan back in the day, and I thought last season was really good. I really enjoyed it, got back into it like I was when I was younger. But the one and done ruined a lot of things for me. It took away, you know, watching.
So you would
team
rather those guys don't even come?
No,
that's
the
dilemma.
Right. Well, why can't you change the rule to be similar to that of football?
Well, the rule before that was that they didn't have to come.
No,
they
understand.
Just go right
and I didn't like that.
We would never have seen Zion Williamson. I would like, Chase, I know what you're getting at. I would love to see them have to stay for two. Maybe someday we'll get to that. I don't know.
There's got to be a middle ground, is what I'm saying.
It would help the game.
Because you are.
Let's just take the guys that were there, two of the guys that were there last night. All right, Penny Hardaway, who I had a chance to play against. Jerry Stackhouse was right after I was there. And even those guys stayed. I mean, those guys would have been probably one and dones, right, under the rules today.
Right. Yep.
Those guys were good enough to be one and dones, but they stayed. I can't remember if Jerry stayed for 2 years. I think he stayed two and left. Penny stayed three?
Was it three?
Or did he stay two?
I was going to say two.
Maybe just two.
I don't know. I don't remember.
But those guys were the peak of the peak.
Yeah.
And that was right when it was starting to change. Shaq stayed three, right? Yeah. Jamal Mashburn stayed two.
Two.
Yeah. So, like, the best of the best at least stayed two, and in some cases stayed three and four. So that was, like, the last years before the floodgates opened and everything changed in the mid-90s. And the college game has really started, had a steady suffering since then in terms of just the top talent and the teams that could stay cohesive for two and three straight years. That's the thing that really would bring you back. Oh man, they got four of their five starters back, and not only do they have four of the five starters, one of them is Michael Jordan, one of them is Sam Perkins. You know, those guys had the same team for two or three years with two or three guys who are NBA stars in the future there. So now it's a matter for Penny Hardaway, right? He's got the top of the top recruits. But the fact is, number one, probably not all of them are going to be one and dones, even though right now they probably think they are. Two or three of them might be. But then the other thing is they got to form the chemistry, right? All five of them or six of them have been superstars everywhere they've gone. They've been better than everybody else. But what role do they carve out for themselves? What role does Penny Hardaway carve out for each of them? There's so many challenges that you have, even when you have that kind of talent. So it'll be compelling. And then the problem is, it will be a completely different picture next year for Memphis. So if you don't hit it big now, what happens next year? You bring five more guys in. Is he that good of a recruiter, or can he find a few guys that will stay? There's so many different ways it can go.
And also sad news in the music world.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Eddie Money.
Yeah, I told Max we're going to have to get some Eddie Money on the show today.
Yeah. That's Eddie Money, who ironically has been battling cancer.
Yeah.
Dead at the age of 70. We'll have to have a little Eddie Money flavor today on the show. Sad, sad news there. We'll come back. President and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, in the on-deck circle. He's ready to step into the batter's box and give it a whack. We'll talk to him next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Austin. See you soon. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We head over to 501 Broadway. The president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, is on the line with us, fresh off carrying, I'm sure, his foursome on Monday at a Vanderbilt Legends Club. Sean, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well because I'm not playing golf today, so it's a good day for me. Monday was a long, long day.
You were in the morning session, so how did it go?
I was in the afternoon session.
Oh, so you were headed out when we saw you. Okay.
Yeah, that sweat was just coming from my car.
he had to come really over, say hi, make fun of me, and then play golf.
It was a great day.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you see everyone's love for Brent Peterson, the passion for our foundation, and it was wonderful. And it was a little warm, but it was still a great day. And if you have to have a Monday every week, it's good to play golf on a Monday. But you know what's better on a Monday?
Two hockey games?
Like Ernie Banks said, let's play two.
I nailed that, didn't I?
You did. I mean, I teed it up for you, hit it out. It's like we rehearsed it.
You know, we don't.
This is what we're talking about. This is professionalism.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked this question, Sean, but in all seriousness, where did, and you may not have the answer to this, but here goes, where did the double dip in preseason? Because obviously we'll never see this. It's always, we've been having this double dip to kick off preseason. And I think it's cool, the split squad. Where did that get hatched? I mean, I think that's pretty unique and different for somebody to say, hey, let's play two in hockey.
Yeah, you know what's really neat about it? You know, we started it a handful of years ago when Dale Tallon, you know, was GM the first time in Florida with David, and they're pretty good friends. And the idea is, you know, training camp's pretty short. It really is. And when you have, whether it's one roster spot maybe that's up for grabs, or if you have five or six roster spots, you want to be able to get real game action for as many guys as possible in such a short window. So the whole idea is, we both carry a lot of guys going to, you know, the first week of camp, if you will. So the first preseason day, why not play doubleheader? We have enough players, you know, to field two full teams as they do. And you really do get a chance to see guys at their best in real action playing, you know, with guys that they could be playing with if things go really well, or who they could be playing with if you know, they're going to spend the year in Milwaukee. So it was really nice to be able to find a partner that wanted to do it and had the same philosophy we did. And it's really an extension of what we created with the rookie camp. You work together with three other teams to give your guys a chance to play together in high competitive hockey for evaluation purposes. It's a continuation of that forward. And it's fun. You know, we swap it every year. You know, this is our year. Next year we'll be back down in Florida. But it's also a fun way to bring your fans back together. And, mm-hmm. You know, I love Wrigleyville and everything that they create, you know, with afternoon baseball. So why not do an afternoon hockey game in the middle of the summer?
Yeah, I love it. And that all starts on Monday. Remember, double dip on Monday.
Yeah, the party starts at 11 o'clock. I mean, the game's not until, you know,
3:30? Uh-oh, did we lose him?
Going out on the plaza, season ticket holders, if that day. And just get out here. Take off of work. If you need a note, Nash will write it. I'll write it. Peter LaViolette will write the note. Maybe Johansson will call your boss if you need be. And school is optional that day. I don't know if you know that, but it's early dismissal that day if you'd like it to be.
Wow, I have not heard the Ryan Johansson part. I did not know he was signing notes this year. That's awesome. That's great.
I would love to see a video.
No, he's going to make phone calls maybe. Who knows?
Oh, phone calls.
But,
okay.
It really is. I mean, work is so overrated. So is school. I'm just cut out and come to hockey.
Wow. Holy cow. This took a turn. All right.
I would love
my
to
daughter's
see
not
that.
Going to school Monday. It's a holiday.
Well, look at I like it. I love it. Hey, yeah. You know, wish I had parents like that. I just skipped and didn't tell them.
I just hope your son has parents like that, man. You better bring him.
Oh, he's going to be there. He's going to be there, loud and proud. So I want to ask you from your perspective and your group. So you've got Peter Laviolette and his coaching staff. They're going to be working out things, and they're evaluating and looking at things. They use preseason and training camp for that. What about on your end? Because as we're talking about, next week is a big week. There's four preseason games, and three of them or at Bridgestone Arena. So what are you guys, you and your staff, trying to work out in preseason leading up to the regular season?
Well, you know, we're really lucky, you know, having the preseason schedule we do, because we have four games at home this year. And it really is a chance. One, you get to welcome back everyone, your season ticket holders, your sponsors. And we see them throughout the summer at different events, but hockey is just different. And from a staffing standpoint, you know, all your regular employees are back in full force. And it's fun to get everyone back together. And then you throw on top of that, you know, every new thing that we built, created, whether it just be a service philosophy or, you know, a real renovation or capital improvement or technology, you're hitting the fire for the first time. And we know it's going to be, you know, 60% right on the first game, and it'll grow a little bit percentage points each game. But no matter how complete a renovation project is or a service philosophy, it's never finished until we get the feedback from our fans. And, you know, not many businesses get a chance to have a focus group of, 60,000 people during preseason to say, this was great, change this, here's an idea. And, you know, as we get that feedback, we get to really complete those projects. And from a physical standpoint, all the projects aren't even done yet, and we're proud of that. You know, we have renovations throughout the whole year. This year is the year of the fan. Every month we're going to be dropping something unique and fun and different on a physical nature in the building. And it really is just enjoyable to see the fans embrace it and then send all sorts of emails saying what they liked, what they didn't like, how smart we are, how dumb we are, and everything in between. Because we always say we are a fun, good organization because of the best fans in sports.
Sean Henry is with us, Predators CEO.
Hey, Willie Donick's on the line. I didn't know he was with you today.
Oh, come on. You know it.
Yeah,
you know
like
it.
A quiet guy in the corner or something. What the heck?
I'm ready to go. Well, Sean,
aren't you? Like, you're so fired up seeing the guys out there. You just can't wait for Monday, right?
It was
Sunday
great.
At Ford Ice Center for the Blue and Gold game.
You know, that was something I thought worth mentioning, Sean, is I spent pretty much the better part of the weekend there. We did some games on Saturday and Sunday. The prospects not only played really well, but it was such a fun atmosphere at Ford Ice. You could already tell, and you know, you get to know some of the fans like I do, that, you know, just love watching every practice they can get to, every scrimmage, everything like this, the prospect showcase. But you had that going on, plus the Philip Forsberg hockey clinic next door. It was a great day at Ford Ice, great weekend at Ford Ice.
You know, it really was, and it's fun to watch all of our players, you know, get more involved in things they're passionate about. But this is the second year in a row that Forsberg's done that camp, and this year we always oversell it because you can't say no. But, you know, for him to be on the ice with a couple hundred kids and spend time with the kids and the families before and after, you really see a wonderful side of who and what he is. And if he has a chance to work with kids, he does it every single day. And that was an awesome part of what else was going on, and that was obviously the showcase with our partners in Carolina, Washington, and Tampa. And you get to see our guys competing with their peers, and I think we showed out really well. But what showed out even better than that was Nashville and how it turned out. And it's fun listening to the other teams that were there talking about, my God, I can't believe how many people are here. You know, it's opening week for the NFL. A lot of other cities would struggle to put that type of crowd together, but not us. And it's fun to show that off. And, you know, next year the camp goes to Tampa. You know, rotate it every year. And but it was a great, great weekend. And then, like you said, it was mixed in with the golf tournament and Petey's party and the fishing tournament, where you got to see so many of our guys bring their passion for life in front of everyone.
I saw this, too, a record amount of money raised for the foundation over the weekend, which is just fantastic news.
Yeah, those are the records we like breaking every year. I mean, they really are. You know, in so many sports, records are sacred. But when we can break a record of what we're fundraising, you know, to go to Parkinson's research and, of course, the 365 fund, and then the rest of everything the foundation does, it really makes it that much more worth it. So not only are we having a good time, you know, with our players and our fans and our partners, you're also, you know, creating some good. And like I said, it doesn't matter how many games we win, you know, how many Stanley Cups we win. If we're not leveraging that passion our fans have for this logo to help change the community, we're missing life. So it's fun to see the fact that we're not.
Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And I want to ask you a question about the foundation, because I saw this at Petey's party that Smile Direct Club has joined up with you guys and the foundation. How did that come about, and what does that mean moving forward for the foundation?
Well, it changes the platform the foundation can be on from a financial standpoint. I mean, they infused it with an immense amount of capital. Not completely disclosing what that is yet, because we're going to roll that out throughout the year with what we call major grants. You know, it could be 5 to 10 much larger grants than what we normally do, which will just augment. I mean, last year we gave out over $2 million in cash. About $600,000 were through our grant program. Well, this just fundamentally changes our grant program and raises that quite a bit and allows us to take on some new initiatives. But you look at the hidden treasure in this community, and that's Smile Direct. You know, they chose to operate out of Nashville. They chose to have their headquarters here, to have their plant here. And they have a huge center in Antioch. They're taking over every office, I think, in downtown Nashville. And we're all just so fortunate that they chose Nashville as their new home. They're growing at percentage clips that, if I said it, you wouldn't believe it, but it's hundreds of percent a month as they grow. They went public yesterday, did an IPO, and can't wait to see them continue to grow and be more successful, because there is an organization that gives back every single day, and we're fortunate to be their partner and letting them use our foundation as a conduit.
Well, and it's an awesome group that you guys have put together with the foundation. Things continue to grow in the organization. I know on September 29th, you're going to have Preds Fest. We saw it last year. What can we expect this year?
Well, you know, Preds Fest, we've never been shy about what the goal was with Preds Fest, and it was allowing us to, you know, connect with the community a little bit differently than you have in years past. Obviously, there are certain things that are only for season ticket holders, but at the same time, we wanted to celebrate this team and all that we've grown together with our fans for those that aren't season ticket holders and really the community as a whole. And like we said, you know, in 3, 4, 5, 6 years, we want this to be a 3-day weekend where it's a lot more than just an evening as it was last year, or a full day this year. Ideally, next year we'll grow it again. But you know, with Moon Taxi signing on to be our performance in the middle of the whole day, you get to see a practice, see the players introduced in a, kind of a unique way, get a chance to touch the building differently than you have in years past. I think we're going to have a special announcement that day as well that really signifies how good things are in Smashville.
Are you planning on dressing up as a hockey player and going undercover and signing autographs and pretending to be a member of the team? I mean, if Nick Bonino can do that.
Nick Bonino did it pretty well last year, and I don't want to steal his thunder. And
But that would be
fun. I
don't
think I'll be doing that.
That would be fun.
It could be. Yeah, but now we can't do it. You just blew it if I wanted to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So now we got to blow the cover. Yeah, so I'll call you next week. We'll figure something out for me and you to do.
Good to talk to you.
And by the way, I think we might have a dunk tank if any of you guys want to be a celebrity dunkee.
Mm. Mm.
Chase,
we'll get back with
you.
Yeah, Chase, that's a good idea.
I'll do it.
There you go.
All right. Well, I got Chase. I'm going to put you down. Well, guys, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you on Monday celebrating hockey.
On to the next. Sean, thank you so much. You're a busy man.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
President and CEO.
I think I'd be willing to put in some time in the dunk tank.
Really?
Yeah. I want it to be like a big time one, though. I got to take a look at the dunk
tank. I feel like for us, though.
Sometimes the dunk tank is like so small, the person doesn't even fall that far.
The water's usually really cold.
It's all right.
Really cold.
The thing with us
that would be refreshing the way the weather's been.
Well,
right?
That's true. That's
like for Willie, I don't think the line will be very long because nobody wants to dunk Willie.
Why not?
Yeah,
nobody wants
true.
To dunk
like
us.
I might need
somebody else next to me.
Need somebody that, people really want to dunk.
So if we get Jared, they'll be lined up down Broadway.
Yeah.
So we'll be good.
Yeah.
You weren't going to go there, but I did. So
no, okay. I was making a comment on who would do that on this show. You're the youth, so
I'll do it.
You need
I'll
do
anything.
It. You need to, really?
Most things.
Wait a minute. Did you get that, Max? Save that. That could be a drop.
Look,
I'll do anything.
I've presented. I think we need to get Chris Mason and Hal Gill to teach me how to skate, and that would be funny.
That would be, because I know how that ends.
Oh, it ends poorly.
Yes. Yes, it does. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase right here on this Friday morning. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Rest in peace, Eddie Money. Sad news this morning. We learned that he lost his battle with cancer. Dead at the age of 70. A lot of great tunes from Eddie Money. Appreciate Sean Henry for joining us here on the program. Jeff Fisher coming up at 11 o'clock. And it was pretty interesting. I don't know if how many people caught that, but did hear Sean say this.
I think we're going to have a special announcement that day as well that really signifies how good things are in Smashville.
Special announcement at Preds Fest. What could that be?
Could be a lot of things.
Well, it could be a lot of things. You're right. But a very special announcement at Preds Fest to signify how good things are in Smashville. Now, you could say, well, they've got a new Jumbotron. Okay, but that's kind of already out there, right? I mean, that's not special announcement, right? We know that. There are other things that are going to be new and exciting, as you heard in that interview, but that's kind of out there. We already know that. What is a piece of news that's not new yet?
We got it. They're announcing a contract extension for Willie Donick.
Oh, okay.
TV voice.
Well, that would be new.
Well, that'd be cool.
That would be new, and that would be exciting news.
Willie, can you
confirm?
Do
you think that's it?
I don't think that's it.
Okay. You're pretty quick to answer that.
Well, I mean, you've got to have something that gets people excited. I'm not sure that.
People excited, but
I'm getting excited.
I think we can safely speculate. At least I can. I don't know. Maybe news about. We talked to Brian Poyle yesterday. Any new news? Anything? Anyone? Anyone? We got it. He's under contract for this year. We know. Any new news? Any new contract? So I don't know. We'll see. I think it is going to be fun, as we talked about Tuesday at Ford Ice Center. And Scotty Nichols sat down with us. We touched on this yesterday with Brian Poyle. Just how they have beefed up the pipeline, right? And we know 2 years ago it had dipped because of all the trades, right? All the movement. They've sent a lot of important pieces. That Colorado trade, you know, they've got one guy in particular that's been already signed a new deal with them, and the Predators traded him when he was 19. So they had to beef up the pipeline, and they've done that. And I think that's what's exciting, because we were really touching on this at Ford Ice. I think there's going to be a surprise or two. But at least a surprise that's going to make this roster. I really do.
I saw a very interesting article this morning done by Scott Burnside, who we have on, I don't know if I would say monthly, but it's close. There's probably been some months we've had him on more than once, but excellent writer for The Athletic, and he caught up with Brian Boyle, who is sitting and waiting. And you know, you're referencing Roman Josi not being signed. There's all these RFAs. Colorado's got a couple of, you know, got Mikko Rantanen. Toronto's still waiting to get something. Toronto, every 10 minutes, you're looking at somebody saying the Marner deal is going this way or that way. So there's a lot that people are waiting on, like Brian Boyle, right? He's waiting for some of this stuff to shake loose, and then he feels like he's going to get a call from somebody. And it did say in there that the Predators would be a team that has interest if certain things happened. And so
there was another RFA signing today, wasn't there? Provorov signed his deal.
Did he? Okay.
He did. 6-year, $40.5 million with the Flyers.
So that's a big one.
Okay.
That would have been Josh Upton's guy.
That's
in the draft.
Because that was the guy that didn't get drafted.
So he finished second in the competition.
Annual value of $6.75 million.
For six years.
Yep.
Interesting. He's a little more offensive, you know, still a little bit of a wild stallion, you know, in his own, but he's still very, very young. So I think the Flyers are happy with that deal. Once Werenski signed, I think that made it easier for Provorov, and then the next guy is Charlie McAvoy. But nothing is shaken loose with the forwards. But Boyle is out there waiting to be signed by somebody, and I do think he will sign with somebody eventually. The question is,
what would have to happen for the Predators to have some interest there? Because pointed out the other day, there's just no room right now. But if they were to make a deal, then maybe there's a spot for Brian Boyle to come in and play his role. And he would be for probably a lot less expense than you would think.
Couldn't
it would
you get
be
him
for
like a million or just a little over?
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't require a lot. Let me ask you guys, let me throw this at you guys. Based on, we'll even throw Brian Boyle into this conversation, but Ellie Tolvanen is one. Ryan and I were discussing this morning because we brought up the other day that you don't really want Ellie Tolvanen to be a fourth line guy because that's not what he is. He plays more top six, top nine, something, you know, those types of minutes with those types of lines. But let's say that throughout training camp, Dan Lambert's power play is working with Ellie Tolvanen. Could you see a situation where just the power play alone allows him to make the team, even though he might be playing fourth line minutes the rest of the time, but he's you know, effective on the power play?
Not ideally, but I think it's an interesting thing to bring up because there's no question that Tolvanen's shooting ability is a power play weapon that has to be considered. But I think in the big picture, I think he has to hold down a top nine role somewhere in there
to get the job. I don't understand that. I brought this up on Tuesday. I don't know why. I mean, why? Why does he need to hold down a top nine?
You're going
to
play him on the fourth line?
Yeah. He's in the NHL. He's getting experience at the top level. Or are you sending him back to Milwaukee? What is going to speed up the process?
The question would be fourth line.
Another year in Milwaukee or getting time on the ice with the best in the world?
I think part of a season at Milwaukee might still do him well. I think it has to be told, right? The story has yet to be told. If he dominates training camp and he clearly shows he's ready, then I think
he certainly dominated the rookie showcase.
Yeah, but that's a little different than what we're about to see here.
Right.
In fact, very different. But that being said, fourth line, but also a big part of the power play. Now, that's an intriguing mix. There probably are some players that fit that mold. But if he's only playing
Brian Boyle was
minutes,
one of those guys.
8 minutes of 5-on-5, which is what the fourth line sometimes will play on a particular night.
But that,
is that really what you want?
That's exactly what Brian Boyle was doing. Scott Hartnoble was doing. I mean,
yeah, so you're right. There are guys like that. But also, Brian Boyle was a guy you could put out there against top guys on the other team. I'm not sure if Tolvanen's that guy. Also, remember that the way it's constructed right now, and Kyle Turris said all the right things yesterday. I'm excited. You know, last year was a bad year. I felt good about the World Championships. I'm pumped up to get this thing started. Your fourth line, in theory, could be the Colton Sissons, Nick Bonino, Austin Watson line, which you're going to use more than a lot of fourth lines, right? Which means you got to come up with a third line. That's where Tolvanen, I think, could be a factor. And he's competing with the Rocco Grimaldi in there. You're looking at, you would think, Turris centering that line, right? At least they're going to probably take a look at it. And then a Cali Yarncroke or somebody like that on the wing to where it's a quasi-scoring line. It's not really a shutdown line, but you use Bonino's line as the fourth line as the shutdown. And then Duchesne's got his weapons, whoever they use, Granlund, Smith, those guys.
I'm saying ideally I agree with you, but I also think that if he needs to start off on the fourth line and there is this power play element, I would be perfectly fine with that. I think that would make sense. I don't know how much longer you can keep playing him in Milwaukee and expect him to get better. To me, it's like you have to see.
He's only 20.
I understand
he's not 22.
That, but now he's done it for a little bit. And it's like, okay, well, then put him out there at the highest level and let him get experience there.
I mean, it depends on how he does in that role.
Obviously, if he fails miserably, then you have to. But, I mean, you got to at least try. I mean, I'd like to see, because I feel like all we've heard, we know the motivation is there, right? I mean, he's made it abundantly clear, just like Kevin Fiala, right? We used to have these conversations about Kevin Fiala, how he did not want to go to Milwaukee. He wanted to make the club. Ellie Tolvanen's no different. We got it. The motivation is there. He wants to be on the club. So we know that. But Scotty Nicholl just gave him some glowing remarks when we talked about his overall game, not just his shot, not just the scoring. He gave him for hunting the puck and doing, you know, what he said it, okay? He talked about some of the things where his game has grown. Well, if it's grown, then okay, let's see where it's at.
Let's see if it keeps growing.
Yeah. You're right. Preseason, we'll see.
He didn't light up the AHL last year. He did not.
No.
Right? So there was still some
growth. That's not always
a good gauge.
But
he did better by the end of the season, and he was making progress. If he has continued to make progress, what we have said, and I think I'm going to stick to this throughout the training camp, if he forces them by playing really well that, hey, he's ready, then I think they'll find a way to get him in there. If he's ready, they're going to put him in.
Rookie showcase goes exactly the same way in preseason and camp, he's going to be on this roster. If that carries over
and he
plays the same way, he's going to be on this roster.
And it also
if he scores four goals in three games or something.
I'm saying
if
he continues to be the story, which he was, he's going to make this roster.
I think the other elephant in the room on all this is because they have a log jam at forward. They do.
They got extra guys right now.
They have a great problem to have. If Eli Tolvanen shows out in camp and proves that he's ready, then that gives David Poile and the Predators the luxury that if they want to offload one of these forwards, I won't say a name, just anybody, they have the luxury to do that because the depth is rebuilt and they could try and get assets, draft picks or whatever, for whatever they offload. But I think a lot of that depends on how Eli Tolvanen plays during training camp and if he's truly ready for the big time.
Winnipeg Jets have said that Dustin Byfuglien is taking a personal leave of absence. It's not health related to either him or his family member. They said they're just going to give him some time to sort some things out. I'm not sure what that means.
Wow.
And there's no timetable for his return. So Dustin Byfuglien, I don't know. I mean, how old is he now? I feel like he's 45, 34, 35, honestly.
I don't think he's in his mid-30s yet. I think early 30s?
Feels that way. I would have said 34.
You are correct, Darren.
He's 34?
34, okay.
Okay. So I don't know what that means, but he is taking a personal leave of absence from the Jets.
That's a big story.
With no timeline for his return.
And
it's not personal or family member related. I don't know.
Coach says not sinister.
I don't know what that,
I don't know what that means.
Well, he obviously can't say what it is, but he's trying to give people a picture that it's not like he was up to no good off the ice or something.
Like they have to address it. Like, where is Buff?
So, I mean, they just signed Josh Morrissey, but Jacob Trouba, they had to trade because they couldn't. And they've still got the two restricted free agents that are unsigned. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now. There's still a lot of what would you like loose ends that they have to tie up there.
Paul Maurice said, quote, "Let's just put it this way, there's nothing sinister to this," or senator. "You start going down the list and then the process of elimination. He has the right to privacy in this. Like I said, there's nothing sinister to it. He needs some time and he was given that."
Come back to wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.